and welcome to this week's Liverpool Life podcast. I'm Hannah Kane and I'll be discussing the main news stories in Liverpool, plus a roundup of the latest sports headlines and what's happening in the city this week. Coming up, more than 20,000 people in Liverpool will not be allowed to vote at the next general election.
It occurs to everybody in the city that if you're young, you're old, if you're living in a hostel, you're much, much less likely to be able to exercise your democratic right to vote.
Merseyside Police have launched their annual Christmas drink and drug driving campaign this week.
I think there should be zero tolerance. The statistics indicate that at times of the year like Christmas, drink driving convictions peak.
And find out why this man is so angry.
I think it's disgusting, you know, the way it is. It's hard enough to make a living out of without them coming into town.
More than 20,000 people in Liverpool will not be allowed to vote at the next general election in May because of the confusion caused by the way they are supposed to register. Beth and Tolly has more on the report.
People in every ward in the city will not get the chance to cast their vote in next year's general election. This includes students in Liverpool, people staying in hostels and elderly home residents. The changes to how voters register were introduced in February to get rid of outdated head of household registration, placing it in the hands of individuals and giving people more control of voting. However, this will see a decline of voting in urban areas with huge populations, whereas suburban and rural areas should stay the same. Labour councillor Nick Small expressed his concerns of people in Liverpool losing their right to vote.
The fact that because of these changes, we no longer have an accurate electoral register. We no longer have a register that's, you know, made up of everybody in the city. That if you're young, you're old, if you're living in a hostel, you're much, much less likely to be able to exercise your democratic right to vote. We've been working very closely with the universities, with student unions, with people who manage residential care homes, people who manage hostels to do this. And, you know, the council have done a really good job on this. But, you know, I think what we need to be doing is for lobbying, you know, for government or for future government to change this. I think what they should certainly be doing is exempting halls of residence, old people's homes, care homes, hostels. What we need to do, I think, to get the register back up where it should be and to get these 20,000 people register is to change the law so that people who manage these institutions can actually register people and it becomes an opt-out system rather than an opt-in system.
Students in Liverpool now have to register as individuals and there are now concerns that students won't register to vote in time for the general election. Dan Cole, Vice President of Community Engagement at Liverpool Student Union, told me what the student union is planning to do to get students involved in the general election and politics.
One of our main priorities at the student union this year is the general election. We know there's a lot of students in Liverpool. A lot of our students live in the city centre, so they do have the power to make changes locally and nationally. What we're doing, obviously, is individual electoral registration this year, so it's made it a lot more difficult for us to engage with students and get them to register. So one of the things we're going to be doing is a video. That video is going to explain what the general election means for our students, how students can get involved and what we're doing to make politics more relatable. So we want students to kind of understand politics don't have to be boring and difficult. It can be things that they can relate to and very interesting. So we want to get students excited about it. We've got over 3 million students in the UK, really do have the power to change politics. So if everybody exercised their right to vote and did vote in the election, they would be able to have their say. What we do is we have things like National Voter Registration Day in February, where we encourage all students registered to vote and talk about issues that matter to them, because we do want students to understand what politics mean to them and so they can relate to it.
The loss of electors could lead to the city losing a MP when boundaries are redrawn next time. This is Beth and Tolly reporting for Liverpool Life.
Official figures show that Liverpool is growing faster than other UK cities after years of decline. The Centre for Cities report showed Liverpool's in the top five in terms of improving wages and narrowing inequality. Nigel Wilcox is the Director of Investment at Liverpool Vision. He spoke to Liverpool Life about the Liverpool economic growth.
Why is Liverpool doing better than many of the other regional cities? I think there's an element of it starting from a low base. I think, though, that there are some really important assets in the city. I mean, the port is growing again. There's the strength of the university, particularly around areas such as in life sciences. There's the reinvestment in things like Jaguar Land Rover, which has been hugely important They're biomanufacturing location plants that in the south of the city, in the Speke area, are also growing very well. And I think some of the infrastructure that was put in place to allow some of the mayoral development zones to grow, and particularly areas such as all of the work that's gone into Speke over the last 20 years, had a major impact on the city. And the transformation of the office environment in the city centre has also had a major impact.
Liverpool economic growth is set to continue with major roads investments in the northwest, which will create an estimated 600 construction jobs. 800 projects across the country will share £15 billion to increase the capacity and condition of England roads. £800 million will go to the northwest. There will be a new junction off the M56 to save Runcorn, which will provide a new link to the Mersey Gateway Bridge. And there'll be upgrades to the M53, turning into a smart motorway to manage congestion. Some of it will also revamp the links to the city's port to improve trade. Nigel Wilcox tells us what the new roads investments will mean for the city.
I think it'll have an impact on the relative strengths of the northwest economy compared to the east of England economy, yes, because more trade linkages, more shipping activity, more shipping lines acting through the port, more logistics activity, all of that can now be better attracted as the road infrastructure into the motorway network improves, which directly will lead to more jobs and more growth in the economy. I think it's hugely important. I think it reflects the fact that the city needs new infrastructure because it's growing. I think that this is one of the keys to unlocking the strengths of Liverpool too. So it should be seen, I don't think it should be seen as a road scheme in isolation. I think it should be seen as part of that overall major capital investment in it, being a hugely important national asset. And I think that any expenditure on infrastructure that puts in place foundations for future growth has got to be a good thing. So I see the opportunities that Liverpool 2 brings, and that scheme in particular, but others also, place to really put the city in a really good chance for future growth.
Merseyside Police have launched their annual Christmas drink and drug driving campaign today. Our reporter, Ruby Molyneux, has more on the story.
Patrols will be stepped up throughout December, and officers are on the lookout for motorists who go behind the wheel after drinking or taking drugs the night before. The current drink limit for men is 4 units, which is 2 pints, and for women, a large glass of wine, which is 2 units. I went out onto the streets of Liverpool to find out whether we should have a lower drink driving limit.
Not worth the risk. You don't know what your body's how it's going to react to the quantity of alcohol you had. And a lot of people say they're only having one and at least 2 and 3, so no.
Depending on people's tolerance to alcohol, it's not good to drink before drive.
I think there should be zero tolerance. The statistics indicate that at times of the year like Christmas, drink driving convictions peak. And I think in all fairness, I think it's more important to protect human life than let people do as they please.
On the 5th of December, Scotland will lower the drink drive limit to 3/4 of a pint, which is lower than England's. Scotland's new limit is in line with other European countries, including Germany, France and Spain. I asked people in Liverpool, should we follow Scotland's lead?
Yeah, because there's a massive problem of alcohol in this country. It's a massive load on the health system. If you're going to drive, you shouldn't have a drink, and that is it.
No tolerance. Because I think when you've got alcohol in your system, you're not capable. And you don't know when to stop. Don't know what's just over the limit.
Sussex and Suffolk Police are to Twitter shame drivers caught drinking and driving. The police will be tweeting their stops and arrests, where each tweet will contain the location where the motorist was pulled over. And for those who are eventually charged, they will have their names broadcast on the police's Twitter account. Police will also be putting up posters to show where exactly these motorists have been stopped.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, bookmark jmu-journalism.org.uk.
Bay TV have launched their TV channel this week on Freeview Channel 8. I spoke to CEO of Bay TV, Chris Johnson, about the launch.
The thing about Bay TV Liverpool is, in the word Liverpool, we are predicated on Liverpool and the Liverpool city region. So unlike Granada or BBC or any of the other TV channels, we will be focusing primarily on the city and its surroundings and the people of Liverpool and its businesses.
It talks a lot on Bay TV about the television revolution. Why do you think it will succeed when previous ones in the past, like Liverpool Channel 1, failed significantly?
Well, Channel 1 was a critical success, but a commercial failure, and that was partly because it just didn't have enough reach. It only reached homes in the city of Liverpool and the borough of Knowsley, and of those, only people who subscribed to cable, which was Telewest at the time. So the number of households that it reached was something like 50,000 to 60,000 households at best, whereas BayTV Liverpool on Freeview has a potential reach of 933,000 homes with a viewership reach of 2.4 million.
What type of programme format will be dedicated to local programming?
Oh, all kinds. News, sport, current affairs, music, education, health and well-being, religion, and all kinds of things like pets, families, and indeed business, and purely anything of interest that's going on in the city region will be covered by BayTV.
What about hours and your staff? Because TV does require a lot more time than, for example, radio, and commercial attempts for new talk type of radio shows haven't really worked in the past. So what makes BayTV different?
Oh, tell me about it. Yes, we'll be starting from 6 a.m. and going right through till 11 p.m. To start with, there may be some periods when we'll be off air and showing a holding screen for a few hours. But as we build up our stock of programmes, we'll be on air from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And we will include in that a number of repeats so that people can catch up on material that they, on content that they've missed out at, on a previous day. We'll also have the opportunity to catch up online, and we will also be on Virgin 159.
What type of audience are you aiming at? Because with things moving on, including like with broadsheet newspapers, everything is more online, and seems as you've been online for so long, why do you think it's necessary to go to TV when everything's leading more towards everything being on the internet?
I think it's largely about the viewing experience. The viewing experience online is good, and indeed a lot of people watch material on their mobile phones and tablets, but I don't think the viewing experience is quite the same, because it tends to be a solitary experience in that it's not something that you do as a family, whereas we hope that BayTV Liverpool will become part of the fabric of the city, part of the fabric of the region, and that families will sit down and as they do, and watch TV. Whilst internet delivery is useful, it's not the whole picture, simply because of the nature of accessing programmes online.
What type of audience is BayTV aiming for? Is it a broader type, or is it a younger audience?
I think it depends on the time of the day. In the morning, we've got a news rolling news programme, which will be aimed at being consumed in 15-minute chunks, people up and out, getting breakfast, getting families out, dashing out to work. You don't tend to watch TV for very long in the morning unless you know, you've got the luxury of day off or some time to yourself at home. So that's the morning show. And then across the day, it will vary and be aimed at the various different majority audiences that are perceived as watching television at those times. So in the mornings, it'll be, you know, stay-at-home parents, people who are perhaps retired, students. There's no secret to this. It's a well-trodden road as far as TV scheduling is concerned. And in the afternoon, we will have a number of programmes that are aimed at a broader audience. And then in the evening, the peak audience will see our main news of the day and the evening shows, where we will be airing our programmes for the first time, the local programmes that we've made of various types.
Will BayTV get in the mix of the communities in Liverpool and try and reflect on everything, what's going on with the city?
Well, the brilliant thing is that we've got so many hours that we can devote to the Liverpool city region. We will, over weeks, months and years, be able to cover more or less every aspect of the life and times of the city. So we can't cover everything on day one or in week one or even in year one, but by the time we get to year three and year four, we'll have dug pretty deep into the life and times of the great city region, and we expect to cover all aspects of human life, from very grassroots material, small events that would otherwise have gone unreported. We'll be able to cover them because we've got lashings of airtime which we can devote to the life and times of the region.
Prince Harry is the founder of the Centre Barley charity behind the Feel No Shame campaign. Celebrities have been telling their untold secrets as part of the World AIDS Day campaign. Ben Matthews has more on the story.
The charity of Centre Barley aims to help children and their communities in Lesotho in Africa. The hashtag Feel No Shame campaign wants to rid the stigma that is so often attached to the HIV and AIDS illnesses. Celebrities have been encouraged to spill all about themselves to stop people feeling shame about untold secrets. Prince Harry led the revelations.
Believe it or not, I get incredibly nervous before public speaking, no matter how big the crowd or the audience, if not anxious, actually, before going into rooms full of people when I'm wearing a suit. And now that I've confessed that, I'll probably be even more worried that people are looking at me.
Liverpoolian Ricky Tomlinson also supported the cause, revealing something his wife Rita won't be too happy about.
I always phone her up before she comes home and say, Rita, I've spent hours and hours and hours tidying the house up, so it's a lovely spick and span for you to come home. But my secret is, I actually get a professional cleaner in to come and do it.
While Ricky's co-star in the royal family, Ralph Little, possibly told the best secret about his time watching a football match with Prince Harry himself.
I tried to jump on him to hug him in celebration, at which point two of his bodyguards wrestled me to the ground and told me that if I didn't stop moving very quickly, they would break both my arms.
Check out the Feel No Shame website for more celebrity secrets involving singer Nicole Scherzinger and boxer Ricky Hatton.
Cilla Black will receive the Royal Television Society's first ever Legends Award. The Royal Television Society will award the former Blind Date host with the award to honour her 50 years in TV business during the RTS Legends lunch this week. Liverpool cab drivers are predicting the outbreak of a taxi war after the Merseyside taxi giant announced it had opened a new office in the heart of the city. Luke Holliday has more details on the story.
The private hire firm Delta have their main call centre in Bootle, and bookings from this centre can only go to private hire drivers and cars licensed in Seffen. Last year, Hackney drivers said they were losing up to 70% of their business to firms licensed outside the city boundary. I spoke to taxi drivers working in the city centre about their concerns over this recent announcement.
Seffen is out there. That's where they should be. They shouldn't be in Liverpool at all. People think, oh, Delta cabs, they're a lot cheaper. You try and get a Delta cab on a Friday night after 5 o'clock and their rates go up dearer than a Hackney cab.
He's up to something. He's up to no good. He's up to cheating Liverpool out of its money one way or another. He's done enough of it over the years, hasn't he? Taking the money and putting nothing back.
I think it's disgusting, you know, the way it is. It's hard enough to make a living out of without them coming into town.
They're Sefton, we're Liverpool.
Yeah.
What's been allowed to happen, the council are going to let them do it, so.
This issue arose in December 2013 when local cab drivers took a vote of no confidence in council taxi licensing bosses over the amount of trade they were losing to out-of-town firms. The council claimed it was doing its best to enforce against drivers and firms breaking the rules. The mayor of Liverpool, Joe Anderson, said he wanted customers to use city firms instead of out-of-town firms such as Delta. One disgruntled taxi driver told me he felt the directly elected mayor of Liverpool had broken his promises for the city.
Joe Anderson, for a start, has let the Hackneys down in this city. Also, he's let everyone down. There's a Sefton company pay Sefton rates, don't pay Liverpool rates like other private hire in Liverpool do. No objection to private hire in Liverpool, but they're not a Liverpool company. They're a Sefton company. Sefton get all their money, and what do? They sit all round the city, and Liverpool City Council don't do nothing about it. Another broken promise by Joe Anderson.
Under a deregulation bill now going through Parliament, taxi and minicab firms will be able to subcontract business to other firms. This means Delta would be able to dispatch bookings from either its Bootle or Liverpool office to drivers and cars from both fleets. Although this new bill may well mean Mayor Anderson would be powerless to stop Delta, this is unlikely to appease the worries of the city's taxi drivers.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism. And come back often.
A derelict building in Liverpool city centre is to be turned into a luxury apartment hotel containing 17 chic and contemporary apartments, Jay Cottrell reports.
Serviced Apartments is investing £800,000 in transforming 75 Duke Street in the Ropewalks area of Liverpool city centre. The building, which has stood empty since 1984, will be transformed into 17 apartments within a luxury apart hotel. I spoke to general manager of the firm, Paris D'Alessandro. He told me while there is currently not much need for hotels, there is growing demand for apartments in Liverpool.
With the introduction of the new exhibition space in Liverpool at the end of September 2015, I think there will be more demand for hotel space. But hotel space at the moment, no. The demand, however, is there for apartments, and it's a growing category.
A large number of new hotels and apart hotels have opened up in Liverpool in recent years due to increased demand at weekends as a result of tourism. The city's hotels have, however, traditionally struggled to fill their rooms during the middle of the week. Epic's general manager told me that by targeting corporate business people, filling the new apart hotel on Duke Street throughout the week shouldn't be a problem.
We're not just built for stag groups, hen groups. We have a very strict no-party policy. I'm not trying to say that we turn away group business, but we have rules and regulations in place for those groups so that they don't deter our other guests.
So it will be mainly aimed at corporate people, will it, this particular apart hotel?
Yeah, totally. We've got one of our new sort of key room types going in there, EPOD by Epic. So it's a smaller sort of hotel slash apartment room, 17 metres squared to be precise. And we're targeting the more junior corporate. I would certainly say, you know, midweek, we're definitely targeting corporate business. And weekends, as with everywhere else in Liverpool, you have to rely on tourism and football.
So you think you will get it filled midweek with the corporate business?
Yes, with our reputation, yeah, definitely.
Epic, which has been in operation since 2012, already has properties located in Campbell Street and Seal Street, and they are looking to develop further sites in Merseyside and across the UK.
A Merseyside pub has reached the final four in a competition to find Britain's best watering hole. The Fresh Fields in Formby was revealed as one of the finalists in the National Pub of the Year competition organised by Camra. It will be up against pubs from Greater Manchester, Gloucestershire and Kent for the overall prize. The overall winner will be crowned early next year. To wrap up this week's sport, Dan O'Brien has more.
Liverpool manager Brendan Rodgers has said captain Steven Gerrard still has a place at the club after the captain putting a man-of-the-match performance against Leicester City. Gerrard scored the team's second goal and was instrumental in the side's 3-1 victory over bottom-of-the-table Leicester. Another poor display from keeper Simon Mignolet allowed Leicester to take the lead from an own goal from the Belgian keeper before Adam Lallana levelled before half-time. In the second half, a volley from Gerrard and a third from Jordan Henderson earned Liverpool the victory after Wes Morgan was sent off for the Foxes. Win moves the Reds up to 8th in the league, overtaking bitter rivals Everton. Everton manager Roberto Martinez said the team's built-up schedule was the reason for the team's lacklustre performance against Hull City. Everton drew 1-1 with the Tigers after taking the lead through Romelu Lukaku's 6th goal in 10 games, before a wonder goal from Sonny Oluko earned Seabrook's side a point. Martinez said the amount of games his team has already played this season was incredible, and the result sees the Blues fall to 11th in the league. Everton could be boosted by the return of Ivory Coast striker Aruna Kone. The striker, who signed for £5 million last season from Wigan, has been out for over a year with knee ligament damage. The 31-year-old, who has not started a game for the Blues, managed to get through the first half on under-21's game and hoped to be on the first team in the next couple of weeks. Redevelopment is scheduled to begin at Anfield this week. The work is scheduled to begin on the 5th of December and will see an additional 13,000 seats added to the stadium, bringing its capacity to around 60,000 by the end of the 2016-2017 season. Liverpool fans went up in arms over the club's high ticket prices. The fans held a banner showing the club's rapid price increases with the tagline, "Let me show you a story about a poor boy." The most expensive matchday ticket is currently £59 and the cheapest is a more reasonable £37. The Spirit of Shankly group described the pricing as worrying and claimed the increase might price fans out of being able to support their club. A recent study found that most Barclays Premier League tickets have doubled over the last 2 years. Rugby side Widnes Vikings have been fined £20,000 by the RFL after failing to control their crowd in a Challenge Cup semi-final game against Castleford Tigers last season. The club also appointed Kevin Brown as their new captain for the 2014-2015 season. The 30-year-old standoff said he hoped to lead the team by example. In other news, a small Liverpool golf club is going against the biggest golf courses in the UK to win an environmental award. Leigh Park Golf Course in Gattaca will be going up against the likes of the Royal St David Course in North Wales to win the prestigious award of Environmental Golf Course of the Year. The club said that getting this far is already a fantastic achievement.
So what's happening in Liverpool this week? Paintings by artist David Jacks that were once displayed at the News Bar in Liverpool have now been suspended from the ceiling and been moved to the 39-room Sir Thomas Hotel. Michael Stark stars in the Royal Court's returning show this Christmas, Scouts of Antarctica, until the 17th of January. The story follows Russian and US submarines racing to the North Pole to claim recently discovered mineral rights, only to find a scouser with a bobble hat on and a student banging on about global warming. You won't want to miss this year's biggest panto. Jack and the Beanstalk, starring Dan Osborne and Thelma Madine, is running for 49 shows from this week through to January at the Epstein Theatre. It's been quite wet and chilly in Liverpool this week. Highest temperatures 9 degrees Celsius. That's the latest news from us. This is Liverpool Life Podcast. A special thanks to this week's editor, Lewis Meller. I'm Hannah Kane, and thank you for listening.
This has been the Liverpool Life Podcast, brought to you by the journalism students at the Redmond's News Centre.